It is our heart's desire for the Spirit of the Lord to have His liberty. And once again, we want to say to the congregation and to those that are here, that is our purpose here. We have witnessed the Spirit of the Lord choosing the vessel and the message that He wants to be given at that hour. And so we never want anyone to be nervous or apprehensive as we wait on that Spirit to have His right away. It is not very often that I give a testimony at the beginning of a message to tell how the Lord gives a message, but this morning I feel inspired to give a testimony. I was in a temptation recently, and I won't go into the exact depth of that temptation, but I was strongly tempted. And we were sitting in the services up at Guthrie during Brother Clint's meeting, and I was had you been observing me, you would have probably observed that I was in a temptation. And a scripture came to my mind, and I didn't know where it was. And I turned to my husband, and I said, "Is there a scripture?" And I tried to give part of it, and he said, "That sounds like Jeremiah." Well, he found it. And I want to start out this morning with this scripture, Jeremiah 20. And verse 9, because Jeremiah was tempted also. Jeremiah said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." Do you think ministers ever have temptations along that line? We do. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I could not keep quiet. What a scripture. And I want to say that that's what the Lord gave me, and it overthrew the temptations of the enemy. And there was a burning in my bones, if you will, and I could not keep quiet. So I thank the Lord that He knows our heart, He knows our frame, He knows those places where the enemy would like to make us quiet. He would like to make us shut up. And yet we can't keep quiet. But in that, the Lord began to deal with me concerning some words that I'm going to give you, and I hope that the Lord will help us to be able to use these words throughout the discourse of the message this morning. So I'm going to give you some of those words. And the first word is zeal. The next one is enthusiasm. The next word is ardor. So this word zeal, it basically has an enthusiastic meaning. It said enthusiastic devotion for a cause. And this word enthusiasm itself, it says keen and lively interest. And the third word, ardor, I liked it too. It says warmth, eagerness, intensity of passion. In a little conversation, and I know these individuals are here this morning, so I don't not want to embarrass anyone, so I will not bring out any names. But in the course of a conversation, I heard this statement, or this question rather. What is your passion? Do we have passions this morning? Do we have a zeal? Are we passionate about anything? I believe that the world is passionate about a lot of things. We can be passionate about, and I really don't want to try to isolate the passions of the world. For I want us to really get a vision this morning of the passion of our soul. But I'm thinking about, I looked up this word passion also, and it said a great affection or love or a strong liking of an object of deep interest. Does that open up your mind to some passions of the world? It does. We have people that are very passionate about our earth, Mother Earth, if you will. Being a so-called tree hugger. I'll use that term in this sense a little bit. A strong interest of an object. And I find a lot of human passions in our world. But you know, I believe the Lord wants to just harness those things. Put a bridle on them. Get our vision set upon something that is truly going to be worthwhile and of eternal interest. We've heard of what was called the Passion of Christ. They made a movie that was called The Passion of Christ. And I shall never forget when that movie came out. I did not see the movie. I did not recommend anyone seeing it. But I happened to be in Walmart. Sister Cordaway was doing her shopping, and I happened to not really have anything to shop for. And I was walking through the books, and a book caught my eye. And it was a book concerning the showing or the, production of the Passion of Christ. And I picked it up and was just looking at the pictures. And it affected me. It profoundly affected me. I laid the book down and tears were streaming down my face. And I knew that I was affected emotionally, but not necessarily spiritually. But I couldn't help myself because I was affected so much emotionally. And I turned and was walking through Walmart crying. And I was crying out to the Lord like this. Oh God, how are we supposed to view you? How are we supposed to look upon Christ? I was saying that in my heart. God spoke to me in that Walmart right there. And he said, high and lifted up. It dried my tears. Because I see a passionate Christ this morning that is high and lifted up and has all power in heaven and in earth. And for us poor human beings of the earth, he has power. So it satisfied my mind. I personally was not tempted to look upon that book again. I wasn't tempted to view any movie concerning that because I had my vision of the Passion of Christ. This morning, I'd like someone to get me a scripture and read for me. Titus, the second chapter. I would like to hear verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God has appeared to all of us that are sitting in this assembly this morning. It's appeared to all men of the earth. That is the passion of Christ. And it teaches us something. It is to teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that you and I should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ? Do you anticipate it? Do you long for it? The song says, I am waiting, I am longing for the summons to come. That's quite a song, isn't it? For you and me to have such a, is that something, does that have something to do with my zeal? I would say it does. Another little conversation similar to the one we spoke of with a young person. And we begin to discuss that time is short. Young people, it probably doesn't necessarily appeal to young people that time is short. Why? Because you want to live. You want to have a family. You want to do all of these things that you're anticipating in life. I did too. And I understand when you feel that way. But you know what this one young person said? I hope it comes soon. A young person said that. Heaven will be worth it all if we're ready. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. And then what does it say? It talks about you and me being zealous about something. Being zealous of good works. This morning, I believe the Lord desires for us to be more than just passive saints of God. The scripture says, Jesus said it, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. You and I are going to be affected of the world, of things that we would say are not sin. And it won't cause me to be sin. There's nothing wrong for me to have some a passion to a degree of being a tree hugger and wanting our earth to be taken care of. There's nothing sinful about that. But you know what? I've got to look beyond that. I've got to have a zeal for works that are going to be judged in the end of my life, that are good works. It goes on and it says, these things speak. Remember, we've had a message about giving us a charge. He gives us a charge for certain things. And then he turns around and he says, you speak these things. You say these things in the ears of the people. And that's one of these things. You say these things now. And you exhort and you rebuke with all authority. So this morning, there's authority with the Word of God. It's not my authority, but it's the authority of the Word of God that you and I need to have a zeal. We need to be stirred up. We need to have a passion, if you will. We need to be enthusiastic. We need to have an ardor. We need to be warm. What does the scripture say about me being lukewarm? He says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I want you to be either cold or hot. I prefer for you to be hot. But at least if you're cold, you know where you are. But if you're just lukewarm and you're passive and not passionate, you don't have an ardor, you don't have an enthusiasm about your soul, your spiritual life, eternity, coming to the services, singing the songs, reading the Bible, you haven't got that thing that will set you on fire, that you'll have a burning in your bones and you can't keep quiet. That's what I had. When the Lord gave that scripture to me, I said, I can't keep quiet. I can't keep quiet. This is what we need. He has redeemed a peculiar people that are zealous of works that are good in His sight. Does that make sense to us this morning? Do I need a little fire set under us, under me, to cause me to be a little bit more enthusiastic? I believe He can set us on fire. I believe He wants to set us on fire. Thank the Lord. Galatians, the fourth chapter, and I have written down the words out of those two verses that I want to connect together. I'm taking this from verses 17 and 18. And it says, they, the people, zealously affected you. Now you and I are being affected by people every day. Whether on the job or in our families or at school or wherever you are, there is somebody that is having some kind of an impact on you that's affecting you. And this is what it says. It says, but not well. There are a lot of things out there that can affect us to even be more zealous, but it's not, the scripture says, it's not good. You go to the next verse and it says, it is good to be zealously affected always in a good way. So we need to recognize when we are being affected in our passion or our zeal or our ardor or our enthusiasm in a way that is not well. We need to recognize that, and then we need to recognize when the Lord is saying, this is good. This is good. I'm thinking about Wednesday night, and we had, or was it Sunday night, when Irma said what some of us were passionate about. Some are passionate about singing. That's good. She spoke about Brother Doug being passionate about prayer. He gives us these exhortations, you know, this is prayer meeting night. Let's pray. Several of you pray. And he promotes that. And she spoke about this. And then she said, that I was passionate about. What was I passionate about? Amens and raising your hand. All of those things, see, are good. None of those things could we say is not good. And yet we are trying to be a goad. Remember, trying to push you along. So the scripture is telling us that there are things that people can affect me that is not good. But there are other things that are good. Let's receive the good. Let's seek the Lord. Lord, let there be a burning in my bones. Let me not be quiet. Let me praise you. Let me worship you, that I may promote others to do the same. Second Kings, the 10th chapter and verse 16 has a little phrase in there that I want to use. And he says there, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." Can we all invite each other and say, "Come and watch me now"? Can you see a zeal? Do you see my passion? Do you see where I have an ardor? I want you to come and look at me. I want you to watch. Do you see I have a zeal for the Lord? If we all can say that, oh, wouldn't that be glorious? If every one of us this morning had a zeal for the Lord, that would be wonderful. Thank the Lord. Romans, the 10th chapter. Desire your prayers. There's so much about this, I don't think I can possibly get it all out. I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts this morning and put the message in your heart. I want to look at verse 2 and 3. It says, "For I bear record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." So there's a caution that comes up here. There's a little warning, see. I've got a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. And then this is what it says. Number one, they were being ignorant of God's righteousness. And number two, they were going about to establish their own righteousness, but not submitting themselves unto the righteousness of God. There's a caution here, see. I can have a zeal toward God, but not according to knowledge. I've got to be able to have an understanding of God's righteousness. How is his righteousness? Isn't it a pure righteousness? Isn't his life in all purity? We were challenging the congregation here recently about saying amen and about raising the hands. But how did we do it? We said through faith. It has to be through faith or it's nothing. If I do it to be for a show, then it's nothing. God doesn't even receive it. But if I do it through faith, anything that's not by faith is of sin. That was the scripture that we used. And so here it's nearly the same thing. I don't want a worked up zeal. I don't want it to be a show. If it's not a zeal through faith, it's only human emotions. God wants us to be on fire by his Spirit. He wants us to have a zeal by his Spirit. And saints, he wants us to have a zeal for our own soul first. He wants me to be so concerned about my own soul that not a day goes by that I am not crying unto him to keep this soul for eternity. But he wants it to go beyond a zeal for my own soul. He wants it to go beyond. Look at verse 10 and 1. Just go up one scripture, one verse. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer. Would that be zeal? Could that be zeal? Could that be your passion? It must be. It has to be. We could change those words and not change the context of this scripture at all. Brethren, my heart's zeal and my heart's passion is this, for God, to God, for Israel, is this, that they might be saved. Israel, the church of God. Do you have a passion for the church of God? Do you love God's church this morning and God's people? Do you carry a burden? Is it your heart's desire? Is it your passion? Are you enthusiastic about it when you come before the Lord? Are you praying for Israel? Spiritual Israel. For the church of God. Do you see her as a bride? Do you see her as waiting for her marriage? Do you see her as being without spot and being without wrinkle? Do you see the church that way? We need a vision. And we need to pray for her that she will be without spot and without wrinkle, because you're praying for yourself then too. We need a zeal, and we need it according to knowledge. And it needs to be through faith, the righteousness of God. There is a scripture in the Old Testament, Psalm 69 and 9. Somebody could read it for us. I don't think I'll turn over there because it's repeated again in the New Testament. And I'd like to look at that. Someone read that for us, please.
For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up.
For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up.
And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me.
Those reproaches that came upon you, they fell on me. And you know, I can understand the second part a little bit better than the first. I've been in question and I've been saying, Lord, what does this part mean? What does it mean for the zeal of thine house to eat me up? Well, the Lord brought me over to John, the second chapter. It tells about Christ having a zeal for the temple. He came into that place one day and he found sheep and oxen being sold for sacrifices, and doves and money changers. And he saw it as such a reproach. And he said, that reproach fell on me and I couldn't bear it. And we know the account. Some people say he got mad. I don't think he got mad. I think he had a holy zeal. And he drove the cattle out and he turned the money changer tables over. He made a point. He said, my Father's house is not going to be like this. And you and I can sometimes have a passion for the church of God and for the truth that we want to see it carried out in a right way. Lord, help us to have the wisdom to demonstrate that passion without it being called carnality. I need that because I do have a passion for the truth and for it to be held up and not trampled under and not diminished. I want the truth to shine forth. I don't want the truth to be watered down. Do you want a watered down truth? You can have it. If you want the whole truth, have a passion for it. Have a zeal for it. Have an ardor for the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Truth will stand. The church of God, there is only one church of God. But you have to have a vision of what that means. God knows everyone that belongs to Him. That's His seal. He knows everybody that's out there. I don't know everybody, but I can know for me. Didn't He say to His disciples, when they were rejoicing that the devils were subject unto them, and He said, don't rejoice over that, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want my name there. Don't you? In closing, let's go to Romans, the 11th chapter, and verse 14. If by any means, it's hard to start in the middle of a sentence, isn't it? This verse is starting in the middle of a sentence. The beginning of verse 13 says, for I speak to you, and I'm just going to stop right there. That's the beginning of a sentence. For I speak to you, and I'm going to say this morning, I'm speaking to you and you and you and you and you and you. And me. And this is what it says. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. What a scripture. This word emulation is listed among the works of the flesh. But here it is for the spiritual. What he's saying here, I want to provoke you to higher ground. Could I say it that way? Could I say, this word emulation means to try to be like or better. The challenge is, let's try. Let's seek. Let's earnestly seek. Let's cry out, Lord, help me to have a zeal for your house. Help me to have a zeal for my own soul. Help me to have a zeal for the church of God. Help me to have a zeal for the word of God. Help me to have a zeal for prayer. Help me to have a zeal for song. Help me to be charged with emulation. It's the only, you remember when we preached those scriptures on covet earnestly the best gifts, and it's the only place in the Bible that he says that I can freely covet something, because anywhere else is counted as sin. Emulation is counted as sin anywhere else but here. And it's the same thing. Let's try to get each other to emulate, to strive, to be what God's calling His church to be, His saints, His children. I don't think that's too high. I mean, the scripture says this thing is a high calling. Let's get out of the low places. Let's get up here a little bit, a higher plane. There's nothing wrong with us striving to enter in. Pray for me. I count this. I need this. I don't want to lose that burning in my bones. I don't want to become passive. I want to be passionate for this thing. It's the only worthwhile thing in this world to be passionate about. You can't go out there and join the organizations that demonstrate and do all that they do because of their passion for something of this earth. It's just fleeting. It's just vanity. It doesn't even compare. But I can have a passion for my soul and for the things of God that is going to be eternal. That's what I want. And I don't want that burning to burn down. I don't want that fire to get less. I want it to get more. It speaks about us old people. Well, we're not completely old yet. We're still getting there. But it says in this word that this outward man is going to perish, but the inward man can be renewed day by day. I see that as a real challenge for my zeal, for my ardor, for my enthusiasm. I like it over there where it was Caleb. Caleb was one of the spies that went into the land of Canaan. He and Joshua, and came back with the best report. We're well able. Even when we saw the giants, we are well able to take it. And then when it didn't happen and he was an old man when he went in there, what was his cry then? Was there a passion in it? Was there a zeal when he said, "Give me that mountain. I'm just as strong today as I was back then." Something kept burning in him. And though he was up in age, he still had a passion and he was willing to go and fight for it. Let us fight for our own soul. Let us fight for the cause of God, not carnally. God is looking for a people. Listen, there's another scripture that comes to my mind. I believe it's in Isaiah. And it said that he looked for someone that would stand in the gap. And he couldn't find anyone. I'll tell you where that is. Because it goes on. I think I had that one written down. Isaiah 59. Let's close with that scripture, 16 and 17. And this is what it said. He saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. And he put on something. He put on all of this. The righteousness was a breastplate, the helmet of salvation. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing. But what was he clad with? Zeal. It became his cloak. It covered it all. You and I need a zeal that'll cover it all. Pray for me.